Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched three things this week. We started out with a new Yorgos Lanthimos film, Poor Things, which stars Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo, a major spoiler alert for that one. We also watched Eileen, which is a new thriller with Anne Hathaway and Thomasin McKenzie, and you guessed it, a major spoiler alert for that one. And then finally, continuing our very unhealthy holiday film binge, we watched Christmas Frequency, or A Christmas Frequency, which stars Denise Richards. Again, technically a spoiler alert for that one, but if you've seen one of these types of films, you kind of seen them all. And then be sure to stay tuned after the episode for a very quick follow-up point. And without further ado, here's We're Watching What? We watched Poor Things. Sadly, Jackie can't join us this week, but I can only assume she was crawling out of her skin. Where did you rank on that? Did you love this movie? I feel like you loved this movie.
I effing loved it. Like, I'm very mixed on Yorgos, right? Like, I think we talked about this a little bit, but I'm very mixed back on him. Like, I like his stuff conceptually a lot.
Yeah.
Most often, like The Lobster, I really like it. And then I think like the third act, it just kind of goes to a place where I'm like, why are we still here? Like, I thought this story kind of, I just, you know, I always think it needs to just be more condensed.
Okay.
I do like The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which we agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Although a little long as well. The kind of feeling, it's not actually that long, but it feels kind of long to me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't love The Favorite, but I like The Great. I don't know. So I'm always back and forth, and I really can't get a gauge on, like, do I like this guy or not? I applaud that he has a very original kind of, like, style.
Yeah.
It's not like this, but I almost liken it to, like, how, like, a Tim Burton is. Like, you see something, you know it's Tim Burton, right? Like, Yorgos kind of has that blueprint on his stuff in a weird way. Not just the look of it, but
I'm
the
thinking
dialogue
about
is
it.
And, like,
yeah.
The,
because
it's
it
quirky,
is interesting.
Weird dialogue.
Because some of this stuff, like, he didn't write The Favorite or this.
Right.
Versus Killing of a Sacred Deer and The Lobster, which he did write. And I feel like those are more distinctly him. And there are like elements of his, but I feel like I watch like a Tim Burton movie or a Wes Anderson movie and immediately visually I know like his, not in a bad way, you know, I like that he's a little more chameleon-y with some of that, but there are like very distinct things. I'm like, oh, he loves organs and like fisheye lenses and stuff like that. But I'm like, okay, you know,
it's not,
it blends a little more for me in a good way.
It's not the same like level of just like recognition, but it's that definite kind of like, okay, yeah, this was a Yorgos film. You know, like I feel that coming out of it. But yeah, I just wanted to live in this world. I have to tell you, I didn't even know it was based on a book. I knew from the trailer that it was like, okay, this is a very Bride of Frankenstein-esque type of thing. Well, what Bride of Frankenstein, I guess, would have been had the story let her be a character. But yeah, anyway.
Had a female character had autonomy.
and not just like died 5 minutes after she was brought back to life. But
yeah.
But I didn't know it was based on a book. And I was like, oh, interesting. So I like literally read the book right after.
Oh.
Read it.
Well,
I liked the movie better.
I actually didn't know it was based on a book until earlier today while scrolling Instagram. So I had not had time to read.
It's told from the assistant doctor's point of view.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
And it still is largely about female autonomy, body autonomy. Like it's still like, that's the message that you get from it, but it's also kind of like, oh, but why isn't this from her point of view? You know? And so it was refreshing that this felt like that to me. I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. So my question is, you had to, I mean, not that you actually have to pick, not to pit things against each other, between this and Saltburn.
It's still Saltburn for me.
It's same.
I just have this weird, I don't even know how to describe Saltburn. I came out of it just like, it's like part of my DNA now. You know?
Yeah.
Like I just was like, that is it. That is elevated on it. Like, I just love that movie. And I thought this was fantastic and I love it, but I would put this probably in my like top 3 to 5 of the year so far for sure. But Saltburn's number one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it reminded me of Saltburn, not the story or whatever, but it's just like these are from distinct filmmakers, I think, and I that stood out to me this year especially, and I mean, it wasn't a perfect film. It could have been shorter. That's my big. Because I got into a discussion about it. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on. I think I have no problem with the nudity. I don't have no problem with the sex, but like, I felt like it got a little gratuitous at a certain point. And because I'm looking for places to shave time from, I was like, those are some of the places where I didn't feel like it was expanding the story after a while. And I was like, this is getting a little weird and indulgent. And Emma Stone's sex face is the exact same sex face in every single scene. Like, she's not going on a journey anymore.
Yeah, it gets to the point where you're like, okay, yeah, no, we get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, we get it. She's horny. She's exploring that side of her. So I do agree with that. And I, at first, I was a little, I don't know what the word is. I don't know if I was troubled or I was a little like, huh. At the, like, wrapping my mind around the idea that, like, she has an infant's brain inside of her.
Yeah.
And it's like, the science behind it is obviously fiction, but it's melding with her body. And so it's like, it's exceeding at a more rapid pace than she's not a 2-year-old, like, in her head, you know, anymore. But there were just some things where I was like, oh, she's discovering herself and self-pleasure, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, but that typically happens to very early teenage people. And so I was like, not always. I was just like,
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back. Well, no. So I was going to say, I don't have children, so I can't fully speak to this. But there is apparently a phase that little kids go through that we don't talk about. And apparently people tell, like, this is where the, like, idea that, like, you know, self-pleasure or masturbation or whatever is, like, bad, is that, like, kids discover their body parts and then, you know, basically try and do whatever, you know, they, like, rub against it, whatever. And parents, I think, just, like, or, you know, this is a generalization, but I think as a Western society especially, I don't know where else, is like, yeah, go do this, but we tend to, like, repress it, right? And so I think it is natural for younger folks to discover their bodies, you know. I think we just don't talk about it again until teenagehood, but I think there is that phase where, like, little kids, not even necessarily in, like, a super sexual way, just in, like, I have parts, they have more, like, you know, nerve endings, what's happening here?
But that just makes my point even worse, really. It's just like, right, a thing where it's kind of like, okay, so she discovers it, and then all of a sudden she's like this, like, kind of middle-aged guy. He's not even, I mean, again, not saying if he was 20 it'd be fine, but I'm just saying Mark Ruffalo is not, you know, some spring chicken, and he's like whisking her away, and it's just kind of like, you're kind of having sex with a child, really. But that being said, while that kind of irked me out, I would almost argue, like, it probably should. And then, you know, he is predatory, and all these guys are trying to control her, and she then takes back the power in that narrative. So it's like, you're not supposed to be, like, celebrating that they're doing all that. But to your point of, like, it getting kind of gratuitous, it was kind of like sometimes a little like, I don't know, though. I don't know if I want to watch her doing this because I'm still looking at her as a child. Well, so it's like, yeah, she's an adult, you know.
I took a slightly different view on it in that I assumed that, like, that whole sort of beginning part where she's gaining her, like, you know, physical, just, like, cognition back, you know, where she, like, learns to walk again and, like, doesn't throw things at people anymore. Like, that was supposed to be, like, a super condensed, you know, all that phase. And so, and maybe this was just mentally, so I felt better about her going on this journey. I was like, oh, she's, like, teenage to, you know, young adult by the time she goes off with him. Still doesn't make it okay. Still is predatory.
I think you're probably right, though. Yeah.
The thing that, like, super grossed me out from the whole idea of when this was an infant, and also if anyone hasn't seen it, like, I'll put a spoiler at the beginning of the episode, but, you know, the idea that this is the baby of, you know, the baby of this person, this host vessel, you know, their brain in her, the fact that her ex-husband or her, like, husband wants her to be the wife again, I was like, that's your kid, you know, like, this is your kid's brain that you are trying to, like, ew, dude.
This guy also wants to castrate her, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
right,
it's, I mean, castration's not the right word, I guess.
No, he did. He did. He wanted, no, he absolutely wanted female castration. That's what they were threatening to do.
Yeah, but he wanted her to still bear children, but he wanted to just cut off her pleasure points.
Which that's what female castration is. Yeah, because since our organs are on the inside. So
So he's a sicko. And to your point about the length of it all, I was like, I agreed with you. I was like, oh, this is long. And it kept on going to, like, a place where I was like, oh my God, this is still going.
Yeah.
And then by the time we're at the wedding, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to end. And then he comes into the picture and I'm just like, oh, you cast, what's his face?
Christopher Abbott. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like him. And I was like, oh wait, he's in this. And I was like, oh, we're getting an entire another thing.
Bonus movie. I mean, yeah. I was bonus, like, short. Oh, okay. It felt like a short, like.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. But when we were in that area, because it was getting so dark and I was wanting her to, like, get revenge on him. I then was kind of like, oh, I kind of wish this had been fleshed out a tad more, but you could have trimmed things out of the middle, you know? So it's like, trim some of the sex stuff out. And then, like you're saying, and then kind of fleshed a little bit more out in the ending there with him. It didn't need it, but I was interested.
Yeah, no, same. I mean, I remember seeing his name in the credits, and then I was like, where, you know, we got to the wedding part, and I was like, where is Christopher Abbott? Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Here he is. Jackie has weighed in via text message, and she says, yeah, you, Matt had asked, this is for the listener, Matt had said, in 10 words or less, thoughts on Poor Things. Jackie says, what the absolute fuck? This is not in 10 words a lot, so that's fine. What the absolute fuck? I didn't watch a trailer, and it was a lot. I honestly couldn't watch most of it. I was so embarrassed.
It's kind of what I expected. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That tracks.
But I was curious because Jackie, well, she likes the iconography of The Bride of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And she likes the film too, I believe. But as we know, the film doesn't really go into The Bride as a character, really. So I was curious if that element of this would have been enough to be like, oh, but I was fascinated by X, Y,
Z. Yeah.
You know, so I'm, you know, we'll have to get more from her when we talk to her. But
right. I think the basic premise is Bride of Frankenstein, but, you know, by having Willem Dafoe's character be the more like physically obviously altered one, which I know The Bride of Frankenstein is also like of the two of them less obviously a zombie. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like they like had that as the base, but then didn't, it was more about like the, you know, accelerated world discovery than her being like creation stuff like that. But I would have been interested in The Bride of Frankenstein stuff too. Although, oh my God.
It's not an adaptation by any means. I just mean it's like clearly so heavily inspired by it.
Oh, and for sure.
I look at Dafoe because his dad was experimenting on him. I look at him as
right, the Frankenstein he's Frankenstein's monster. Yes.
And his dad this was is his Dr. kid. Frankenstein.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I was, oh God. Going back to like Yorgos Lanthimos' like visual distinct things. He loves organs and like cut it and, you know, surgery and stuff like that. And I was like, no, no. Cause there's the opening of Killing of a Sacred Deer is just like an open heart. And it haunts me to this day. And I was thinking about it because I'd just seen Saltburn and Barry Keoghan was in that in Killing of a Sacred Deer. And I was just like, oh, and then this comes on. I was like, No, please don't do the autopsy stuff. Like, no,
it looks real. Like, mastered the medical stuff to where, like, it looks real.
You know? Right. But then there's so many, like, fantastical, like, the burping.
I was like, but I thought all the animals were kind of fun. And even, albeit a little bit sad to think about the experiments going on, but I thought they were all kind of fun and stuff. I just, like, oddly enough, wanted to live in the world. Like, it was just so. I love when something is like, okay, this is clearly a fictional it's alternate reality, you know, different world, but it's just kind of like, it felt like it didn't really have a full sense of time or place. It just was kind of like, it was its own thing. And I just love that level of kind of high fantasy, really. But it just
it is.
It still felt grounded in a weird way. And
It was like Art Deco meets fantasy meets like Victorian era
and classic horror, honestly,
and like, classic horror,
Universal monster horror, like black and white and stuff. And it just was, I thought it was so gorgeously shot. I don't love the fisheye stuff, and I have to say,
I didn't think it was his least effective use of it.
I didn't get it here. I was like, I don't really get what we're going for with this, but I gotta tell you, that first, when we were getting like the opening credits and stuff, and then that first shot of her standing on that ledge in that blue dress, and I was just like, oh, like it was just one of those moments where I was like, oh, this is gonna be stunning, because it was just so beautifully like composed and lit, and it looked amazing.
Yeah. And I, you know, the casting was really interesting for me because like I'm not a huge Emma Stone fan. I thought she was fine in this. Willem Dafoe, I love. Mark Ruffalo, I was worried because I don't think we actually talked about this too much, but I started watching All the Light We Cannot See, which is the World War II drama, and he does like that sort of like generic European accent in it, and he doesn't do it that well. And I was like, oh no. But he holds it down much better here. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. I like him a lot more as the person he seems to be than I do as an actor. Like, I think he's totally fine as an actor. He's totally palatable. I'm cool with him. I like him as Bruce Banner. Fine. Like all that stuff. But, and of course, 13 going on 30.
I was just going to say, I mean, 13 going on 30.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, cream of the crop.
Yeah. But, well, also Eternal Sunshine. I think he's.
Eternal Sunshine. Yeah. I remember he was in The Kids Are All Right. Like a bunch of stuff that.
Oh, yeah.
In The Cut with Meg Ryan. With me in that.
Yes. But I forgot he's in the Normal Heart adaptation.
Oh, yeah, in the Normal Heart. Yeah, I think he's a good actor generally, but I don't think he's
Zodiac. Okay, he's clearly a good actor.
He doesn't ever disappear for me. He's always very like, oh, this is Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
At first, I really did think he was kind of miscast in this. And it honestly was until, because I like Emma Stone, but I do also think she is very similar a lot of the time. I really liked her in this. And part of it was because of just the physicality of it all. Like, I thought, like, looking at the performance as a full thing beyond just like, oh, just hearing the way she's delivering lines and speaking, whatever. I just thought it was like, it was so physical and interesting, and like the language of it. Like, obviously she is, it's a team of people making this happen, and she, you know, she's performing it, but it's like, she, you know, she's getting coached and stuff, I'm sure, to do this. But I thought she pulled it off really well, and it was super convincing. And then when they were, I started warming up to him more and more. And then when they were dancing, I was like, okay, he was right for this, because he has that physical comedy going as well. And I really, I started really like digging it there.
Yeah. I liked seeing him sort of let loose. You know, I was like, oh, this is good. And then, you know, I would not have expected to cast a Rami Yusuf or a Gerard Carmichael in these, like, you know, pretty serious roles. And they, they're great, you know?
Yeah, they both are totally great. And the woman that Gerard was with, I loved her.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I don't remember her name as an actress, but that she was fantastic too. I loved when Mark Ruffalo was going to throw her overboard and she was just like sitting there letting him do it.
Yeah, well, or when she pulled out, like, the other book, and I was just like, yes.
After he throws it, I laughed. There were so many things that I laughed at, like, kind of unexpectedly. Like, obviously, it's going for comedy and everything, and it's very dark comedy, but it's going for comedy. But there were just, I can't even remember most of them right now, really, but there were just certain things that would just, like, little things that were said or done or looks that would be exchanged that just had me, like, laughing loudly.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, unexpected.
I legitimately would watch an entire series of the three of them on the boat. Just like the Adventures of the Older Woman and Gerard Carmichael and, you know, Emma Stone's character.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I had a similar thought. And you know what it reminded me of, because of the structure and the way it was kind of stretched, was Triangle of Sadness. And just because the boat in the middle, but the whole kind of parts of it. And similarly, like, I want an entire show about that island. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in Triangle of Sadness. And I felt that way here. I was like, this boat ride. Like, just give it all to me.
No, I really enjoyed this movie. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I think it's, like, divisive. And I think it finds its audience, and the people who like it really like it. And then everyone else is like, I don't know what's happening here. And I don't blame anybody, you know?
Well, I appreciate it. Similarly to how I felt about Saltburn, it's like, a lot of times the films that I get more and more drawn to, and you can say this about, you know, Everything Everywhere, the films that kind of go in and they just, like, there's a clear formula they can follow, and they kind of just say, I'm not going to do that, though. Let's just, like, totally just go against the grain here and not follow. Let's just create our own formula.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not successful at all. But when it is, it's so refreshing. And that's what I came out of this just kind of like I had not seen this before.
Yeah,
you know, that I just was like, wow, I love this. And I felt that way very strongly. And honestly, I don't know what, I mean, I know Globes nominations came out. I don't know what, if anything, it's going to be super up for in Oscars, but, like, costume design, production design, art direction, all these things. I'm like, it was, I mean, chef's kiss. Those outfits that she was in, I thought were so cool and pretty. And, like, the way that they created just, like, the way everyone's costumes that they were wearing felt very, they were of this world, but, like, different enough to be very just kind of, like, distinct, where if someone was wearing that hair, you'd kind of be like, oh, you're weird. You know, or even in the Victorian era, it didn't look exactly the way it would look there.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was, like, super cool. And it's a really, I think, difficult kind of subtle thing to be able to do, to, like, set it apart, but make it very familiar.
Yeah.
Yes. And I just thought that was great.
I mean, I don't, if we're playing the awards game, I don't think it's going to do, in the greater scheme, it's going to do as well. I know that Emma Stone won, like, the LA Film Critics, you know, she tied with Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. And, you know, it's been nominated for a bunch of stuff. I just think the problem, not that it's a problem, but I think it's going up against some, like, stronger things.
Yeah.
And also having a film like Saltburn this year, you know, does sort of be like, oh, the quirkier, like, weird dark ones takes away from, and I don't know if it, I don't think it's I really like both movies, but I think Saltburn does edge out in terms of, you know.
Oh, yeah, I would give it that, too.
Yeah.
But things like costume design and the kind of stuff that goes, you know, behind the scenes more, not behind the scenes, but, you know, I do feel was like,
yeah, like the craft stuff is totally great, but I think there's that. Other yeah. things that are, you know, honestly more not blunt. They're like, sadly, like the more obvious choices in this category. And it's like, oh, if you wanted to, you know, like, I think Wonka, I don't think Wonka will win, but like Wonka will go mm-hmm. up for that type of stuff. And like Color Purple, I think will do really well in like a bunch of the craft categories. And so, you know, I think because it is so well done, but it's so subtly well done that it's going to get swept away by some of the more ostentatious things. That's the word I'm trying to think of, which kind of sucks. But, you know, sometimes these things that like do really well at like creating something more, you know, refined get penalized for it.
Yeah, no, I could see that. And it's like, I mean, not that it's the same type of film or if this was even up for anything, but it's kind of like when you go back and look at like a Crimson Peak, it was like that was so
well done,
realized,
so, right,
and like,
but it was like
stuff, and it was like no one cared.
Yeah,
I mean, we cared, but like the
right, there were more there. Again, there were flashier things that like
yeah
you know,
but Yorgos has, I mean, so is Guillermo, but Yorgos has proven to be popular with award shows, at least for noms, you know, and then
definitely nominated. And, you know. I just think like in terms of winning, this year is going to be
No, I think it'll be curious to watch, because like you said, with Saltburn and this, I think both of them are so polarizing that whereas like last year when you look at something like Everything Everywhere, it's like I haven't really met people that have seen it that were like, ew, I didn't like it. You know what I mean? Because it was just
a handful. I'm sure they exist. Never speak to them again.
Yeah, I know Jackie had a tougher time with it than we did with some of the gross out stuff. But like, I haven't talked to anyone at length. Maybe I've just PTSD'd it, but I haven't talked to anyone at length who has been like, "Ew, I did not like that movie."
Well, I just want to talk to anybody at length. Who is like, I don't.
I
like
wouldn't
that
surround
movie.
Myself with people like that.
But no,
it,
truly.
But it just wasn't a. That was just a genuinely like didn't feel polarizing. It was like that is just a fantastic film, right? Like, and these. There's that polarizing aspect of just kind of like people are like gonna be like, what the actual hell? Because both are designed to make you feel deeply uncomfortable and to like sit in that discomfort and then to find enjoyment in being uncomfortable. And a lot of people can't do that.
Jackie included. And she just doesn't like it.
The cringe stuff for her, but this is like these disturbing kind of or like the over sexualization, that kind of stuff. It's like it can really like, you know, and I don't know, because I was talking to a coworker about Saltburn who hadn't seen it yet, and he's like, I think it's going to streaming. I was like, just promise that when you watch it, you will put aside time to focus, dedicate, and just watch it. Don't be pausing. Don't be all that stuff. Because I was like, that film to me is designed to make you like immerse and sit there and be uncomfortable. And if you like keep interrupting it, you're just not going to get what you're supposed to get.
It will be on Amazon Prime on the 22nd of December.
Exactly. And that's what we were talking about. So I was like, I'm thrilled. But I was like, if you're not going to go to the theater and watch it, because I'm just trying to get my sister to do it too. And I'm like, you have to promise that you're going to sit there and just focus.
Yeah.
You know, take it in.
Yep. And lap it up.
Yeah, exactly. And you better enjoy it or else we're over.
Yeah. Okay. We also watched Eileen, which I don't think is, I feel like, I'm like, did this movie even come out? I know it did, it was a limited sort of feeling.
Well, it was limited on until the 8th and then now I think it's wide.
Yes, it was limited on the 1st, and then it came out.
Yeah, and then the 8th.
But if we'll notice, it hasn't. You know, people aren't talking about it as much as anything.
Yeah.
How did you like it?
I was looking forward to this. I had more. I had a better chance of loving it, I think, than even you did. Like, I like Anne Hathaway. Sure. I'm not like in love with her.
And
but I
don't.
So that was already working against it for you.
Right.
It's interesting. When I was watching it, I largely felt. For most of it, until, you know, spoilers, but until we get to that, like, twist moment, for most of it, I wasn't bored, but I was just kind of like, what is this about? Like, when is this going to become, something?
And
I thought it was shot nicely. I thought it was acted well. I thought things were, I liked everything about it, except for I was like, is this plot going to move? And then you get to that twist moment, and then I was like, super interested. And honestly, I don't remember her name, but shout out to the actress who played the mother, because I thought she stole
Maren Ireland was...
Maren,
yes.
She stole everything, and I was like, I would love to see a supporting nom for her. I don't think she'll get it, but I'd love to see that. But everyone else was perfectly good at what they were doing in the movie, but she just stole it from me. It's totally unexpected. But until you get to that point, I was just kind of like, but why? You know what I mean? And after we get to the ending and all the stuff, and whatever, I've sat with it and stuff, looking back on it, I like it, but I don't know when I first came out of it, I kind of was just kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's, I was worried, not worried. I thought, I didn't watch anything about it before and I didn't read anything about it before. And I just, this is potentially on me. It was just positioned as like queer bait, basically.
Which I did think it was about that, yeah.
Yeah, it does have like themes about that sort of, but it doesn't actually explore that, which is fine. And you know, maybe this is just on the marketing, but so I you know, I didn't know a lot about it, and I was like, well, they get a kiss, and then they like sort of do, you know. But I thought Thomas and Mackenzie was great in this. I could not understand half of the dialogue in this movie, and I had subtitles on. Everyone was mumble mouth until
yeah, I was
fucking what's her face, Anne Hathaway, who I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of, so showed up and did four different very distinct like capital A acting accents, and I was like, where is your yeah. character, what is happening yeah, yeah. here, you know. She was like, oh, Harvard, and you know, and then yeah, she was yeah. from New York and she did the New York accent, and then like the mid-Atlantic, you know, yeah. like Gilded Age accent. I was like, pick one,
yeah,
come on.
I thought, because I was catching on to that too, and I thought for a lot of it, because I was again trying to figure out like where is this going?
Yeah.
I thought for a lot of it that it was going to be feeding into like, she's a total fraud and she's like putting on, and she could still be, but that's probably deeper than it was meaning to go with
yeah.
it. She probably
just
was
right.
not doing a great job at the accents, but I kept thinking like, okay, I was noticing it distinctly, and I've seen her do an accent and do it at least consistently, whether it's
right.
great or not. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, she's capable of more consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like a choice, but then I don't know.
But then what's the point of the choice, right?
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
it's just, yeah.
I just kept thinking there would be a point to it, and then it didn't feel like there was.
There sure wasn't. But then when the twist happened, I was just, I was just like, yes, I'm here for this. Whatever's happening, like, this is
yeah.
so good. Oh my God. You know, and again, shout out to Maren Ireland, who,
yeah.
you're
it
right,
was so intense.
Stole the show.
Yeah.
Stole
yes.
the show. And then it was just so anticlimactic at the end.
Yeah.
It
had me, and I obviously this is based on a book as well, and I saw that the author, Otessa, I think her name is, I saw that she also yeah. co-wrote on the screenplay. So
yes,
like,
she helped
could
adapt
also,
it. Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I haven't read it, but I was curious to know if I was like, I wonder if it kind of suffers from being too painfully like
faithful
to the book.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like she's too close to the material.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you really do need someone to come in and, you know, just kind of like, you know, what Yorgos did with Poor Things. It was like, this
yeah.
is its own thing, but it's the same story, but just, you know, anyway. And I wondered that, but I started thinking at the end, I was like, okay, when Anne Hathaway's character, which spoilers, obviously, but Anne Hathaway's character then says, okay, put her in the car and I'll come meet you and blah, 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 all this, whatever, and then doesn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
I started wondering if Anne Hathaway's character existed at all. And I was like, is this something... And I was like, is this something where, like, that is the confident, like,
oh,
beautiful, like, woman, successful woman that, like, Thomasin wants to be,
oh,
and she
God.
Creates
I mean, I
her
hate
in
to,
her head?
I hate to use this example, but is she the Tyler Durden of her,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
yeah.
It's like, is that who she creates in her head? And then was that supposed to be a moment where she realizes, like, oh, it's really just me and really I? Because she is... curious, she's watching closely with the boy and the mom and all the stuff
mm-hmm.
when they're in there talking to Anne Hathaway, so she's already like observing all of this stuff, you know. So it's like, I was like, again, I don't know that it was even trying to be that deep.
I mean,
it might
I
just be a thing
like
where,
that theory, yeah.
But I wondered, and I was like, huh, because I also did pay, I was noticing because I was very at that point, I was like, hey, something's gonna go awry here.
Mm-hmm.
At the last shot of her, of Anne Hathaway, she goes running back into the house, and she, the way they shot it, there's like the roof or whatever in the staircase. And you see her, and she literally disappears. Like, she does, I mean, her body just goes.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah,
goes
yeah.
up the stairs, and you just don't see her. But the way it was shot was, like, the stairs didn't take up most of the frame. So it was very, to me, felt very, like, I don't know if you're trying to be, like, she's not here. but again, I could be giving it way too much credit if that's the thing.
I mean,
but it just, I wondered about that.
I like that theory. I think you might be giving it more credit than it's due.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's a great theory. I went with the... This is her learning the very cold, hard truth of, like, you cannot rely on anybody. Only you.
Yeah.
yeah. Like, you know, it's you and you and you at the end of the day.
And it's like her just leaving and not, like, but then I was like, well, she doesn't actually know where Anne Hathaway lives. So it's like, what is she going to do? Like, go.
Well, I think she just realizes, you know, in that moment, she's like, oh, she's not coming.
Yeah.
And then
and she's
I,
like, I'm going to be on my own. Yeah.
I'm on my own, period. I'm
just petty
charge.
Enough to where I would have been, I've been like, okay, well, then I'm. let's put you in this trunk too, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
You're going to do that to me. You know, so like that's where my mind goes, but I'm like, you're just going to leave, girl. Like, you know, but
yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, I've thought about it a lot, which I'll give it credit for that. Cause you know, I kind of expected it to just kind of leave my brain, but it didn't.
I mean, I've thought about it, but also in like just being disappointed by the sort of flatness of it at the end.
Well, because you kind of feel there's so much, it got so cool for a second that there's potential. Yeah. You're like, oh, this is actually like,
maybe I do want to read the book now because there are just so many moments that I was like, oh, I want to know more about this or I want to know more about that. And I know the whole point of it is to like obfuscate so you can reveal this big thing in this, you know, monologue, which we won't spoil because it was so good, you know, but at the same time, I was like, I mean, this is terrible. I watched it over Thanksgiving break because they sent screeners and I was, you know, juggling like family and watching all these screeners. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. It's only an hour and a half because it was really hard to find a movie that was sub 2 hours. And, you know, I found myself like caught up in it. And then I was like, do I want this to be longer? No, because if they were going to drag it out even more and then like, you know, not, I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, and I have to guess that the book, and again, I say this with no, I have not looked into it. But I have to guess that the book is probably like from Thomas and Mackenzie's point of view and is like in her head. So it's probably a lot more interesting along the whole way when you're like, you're hearing about the psychology of her thoughts, what's going on in her mind through all this stuff. And I did think they found creative ways to kind of try to showcase because there was not a ton of dialogue and there was a lot of time just watching her do stuff and kind of weird things and put snow in her crotch and things like that. And it's just kind of like, okay. Well, you know, and I was just like, okay, it was like conveying like, okay, like I got it. I understood you're being peeping Tom and, you know, people like Coldplay. Ice Play, I should say.
I was like, I judge both of those things. I don't actually judge the Ice Play. I judge the Coldplay part. there was like so much potential to it. I thought it was okay. I just, you know, I didn't leave it being like, oh my God, everyone has to go watch Eileen. And I remember a friend who also had a screener copy, so we weren't texting during movies, was like, oh my God, this is the best movie. I was like, have you finished it yet? He was like, no, not yet. I was like, text me when you're done.
He got to the twist
and I was just like, text me when you're done and then you can give me your fully formed opinion that it was not.
I mean, because we'll give it that too, where it's like, to me, like that, the way that twist was delivered was
brilliant.
One of the more surprising moments in a film that I've seen in a very long time, if ever, honestly. Yeah. Like it was very like, you're just like listening to, oh, okay, another monologue and now Anne Hathaway's being dramatic. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like bomb. And you're like, oh shit. You know, so I thought that was pretty cool.
My other note for this film is some of it was like pretty heavy handed in terms of the like Chekhov's gun, you know, telegraphing certain things really early. I was like, okay, it's literally a gun. Aside from like, I don't know who I'd recommend it to. That's the problem because of the ending, you know?
I would only recommend it to anyone who was already kind of interested. But I didn't think to like text people. I'm like, have you heard of this movie?
Yeah.
Saltburn, I did. I texted everyone I knew, and I was just like, have you heard of Saltburn? You should go see it. But this was like, more just, you know, if someone was already interested or asked about it, I'd be like, I've watched it.
Yeah. I'm not going to stop anyone, but I'm not going to be like, I'm going to tell them to temper their expectations is honestly what it comes down to.
Yeah. No, totally. And the other thing that I couldn't decide if I liked about it or didn't like, but when I thought about how it might be written in the book, I was like, okay, these moments that were, they felt kind of like just for shock value at the time, but like, I jumped out of my skin like a couple times, like when she shot herself in the head, but it was like just a fantasy.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it was so sudden. And I was like, and I was like, oh, but maybe that's just a cheap thrill, whatever. But then I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe in the book in her head, she's talking about how like, you know, she wishes she could just blah, 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 whatever. And it's that's how you convey that. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. I haven't really seen that. I've seen that kind of stuff done, but I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So it almost felt like there was a lot of like experimental stuff with like some good ideas for how to like portray something like this, but then ultimately just kind of like a very flat line of a film.
Yeah. Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it didn't have a flat line of a film. Christmas Frequency.
Yeah, there wasn't a single flat line in that film.
So let me tell you my experience with Christmas Frequency. I pulled the U, sort of. I searched Denise Richards' Christmas movie because, and she has been in a few, and I had to make sure, like, not James Bond. And for some reason, some other movie name got pulled in called Reporting for Christmas. And so I was like, okay. So I searched on Hulu. I was like, Reporting for Christmas. And I watched like a good 15 minutes of this movie. And I was like, where's Denise Richards? Because I was like, you know, these movies aren't that long. Like, completely different movie. Completely different movie. But enough of the same premises where I was just like, okay. You know, like, where's the... Yeah. And so it's just like, oh my God, I watched 15 minutes of this other shit for no reason.
I'm adding it to my list. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it autoplays after Christmas Frequency.
Sure, probably tried to, yeah.
Which, I mean, especially, are you caught up on Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Especially after the last few weeks of Beverly Hills. What a treat to watch, like, a semi-coherent Denise Richards performance. Yeah,
exactly.
And for those who don't watch Beverly Hills, Denise Richards goes to, like, a weed dinner. She shows up already, like, on something. I don't know what. Yeah. Or drunk or high, you know. And she's just, like, completely incoherent in it. And it was spectacular television. But, yeah, this movie, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of my favorite things about it, and maybe it's just too inside baseball, I don't know, but, like, I always laugh when you're just, like, you are making a film. It's like we were talking about the Biltmore Christmas. Like, you understand what it takes to make a film, and then you're showing us this. It's not like ER. You guys aren't doctors. You don't. You're not a hospital. Yeah. You know. Yeah. But I'm like, and I just thought it was funny that, like, we are to believe that this producer of this whole entire radio show is just solo. There's no tech people. There's no one there. There's no production.
Nope.
It is just her. And then when she gets her own show, she's just producing herself.
Well, no, you see a younger, even younger woman.
Okay, okay, so she gets her own,
but
producer.
She doesn't get a line. Yeah, okay. She's next to the bagel bouquet.
So she gets her one solo, her jack of all trades,
right?
I just thought it was funny because I was like, in what world? Like, even like, just it's too much. You know?
I mean, I'm our producer, effectively. Nope. I know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I know.
Podcast, you know, like it's like. But on that note, yeah, you do all of this, but it's like a lot of people on their podcasts, like, have teams of people doing stuff. It's like, even on podcasts, this is like a live podcast on a radio show.
And yet, right. That's the idea. And I love how they always have to say
coming in
the entire call sign every single time. They're like, blah, 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 like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So some of my favorite, okay, I actually thought the girl, the main girl, the producer of these types of movies is one of the better ones we've seen.
I thought she was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always get a little sad sometimes when that happens, because I'm always like, aw.
What happened,
like,
to you?
You're really looking for your break. Like, they all are, but, like, some of them, it's like, that's not going to happen, sweetie. But, like, she could be in a movie.
Meanwhile, the guy, you know? I was so creeped out by him. Like,
yeah.
His smile really freaked me out because he's always smiling. Like, he couldn't hold a straight face. And then, you know, he's like creepily internet stalking her. It's just like hot girl from, like, I don't even know what the radio station is called. I want to call it K-Rock or something, you know. But he's just like Google searching for hot women who work at this, like, radio station. Right. And then their favorite thing is to talk about the data or the, you know, they say it in a really weird way too. They're like, we were looking through the consumer data. And I was like, that's
exactly.
Consumer data is for people who, like, purchase things. So unless you're saying, like, we're selling spots based on the consumer data, you're looking at your, like, audience demographics and engagement, all that. Anyway, it was so bad, but so good.
They needed to do a little bit of research.
just on the
film they were making, you know, just the story they were telling. But I, you know, I always, like you, I enjoy seeing Denise Richards coherent. And I also would love many more films, holiday films with her.
Absolutely.
Because I think this is a really
It doesn't just have to be Christmas. Give me Halloween. Give me Easter. Give me, like,
honestly, spread it out.
Yeah. I don't know what the other holiday, 4th of July.
Yeah. Give me all of it, you know?
There were a couple moments where she was, like, really plugged in and on. And I was like, I think this is the closest to, like, real Denise that we get. And it was always the, like, her, like, gaslighting the producer about intermittent fasting, because, you know, so there's one scene where she's like, I'm not eating lunch, I'm intermittent fasting, don't you remember? And then in, like, the next scene, she's like, I'm gonna go get food. And the producer's like, weren't you intermittent fasting? She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh. okay.
Yeah. It's like no performance there.
Yeah. And I'm very sad Jackie couldn't be here this week, because this is one of those ones where just like everything could have been solved if the main guy had just explained to the girl that he did not, you know, the whole premise being this producer is looking for someone to set up her boss with to like improve ratings. And the guy, like, his mom submits him, but he never says that, but he doesn't understand how he ended up on this dating. Like,
yeah, he never knows who submitted and he just doesn't seem to really care.
Yeah. He assumes just like, that, you know, this producer was like headhunted him from the abyss. Like, I don't, what an ego on this creep.
Well, and then it's like, and it just gets to the whole thing where it's like, she's being passive aggressive and then just like, is just deciding to assume that he wants to date Denise Richards, and he's being passive aggressive, just deciding that she wants him to. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's just like, it's just amazing. And then the finale at a holiday event,
the live Christmas holiday party. Christmas Eve broadcast.
Yeah. It's funny because I just watched one last night that was very similar in that way, but it was just,
was it reporting for Christmas?
No, what's funny is that is already on my, I was looking, I was like, oh, I already have that on my queue. But
thank goodness.
But no, this was I think it's Jingle Bell Jubilee. Jingle Bell Jubilee.
Sure. I believe.
And but it was the same kind of thing where it's like, she's like setting him up with her friend, but then she has feelings for him and he has feelings for her, but he thinks that she wants him to date the friend and she's like, well, he's into the friend. And
That one conversation with
it just
everything.
Was like
right.
One conversation, this whole film would be over. But it was just like, thank God it's not, you know, like, I'm so glad we get to have these miscommunications.
I was like, there's 11 minutes left and this bitch is saying he won't go to the party. I was like, how are we going to solve this all in 11 minutes? And then truly, like, Denise Richards gets a whole monologue-y moment. Yeah. And so it was the last 3-5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're 5 minutes left. Is she going to end up alone? Of course not. But, you know, she's like, whose movie is this?
Well, I also was like laughing because like how easily she and the husband's like issues were getting resolved. It was like, why were you splitting up? Like, there was like, what were your other conversations like? And I always think it's funny that in these movies, like, everyone, unless you're a villain, you have to win. So it was like,
happy endings.
They cannot, as a viewer, we cannot handle them ending up together like they do unless Denise and her husband
manifests.
And it's like the one I watched last night, same as that thing where it was like, oh, actually, the friend's actually interested in another guy. It's like, okay, as long as she gets her guy, now we can feel totally okay with
absolutely.
You know, and it's like, I love that.
I also love that he sends her a bagel meme and they had to make their own meme. And it is the worst thing I've ever seen. And I love it. Great. So much.
Not great. Yeah,
there's also a ratings graphic that's just like somebody Google searched like chart. Yeah. And then like the X and Y axis like changed like measurements at certain points. I was like, what?
I always think of like the poor like PAs whose job it is like to be like, oh, we need a graphic for tomorrow. Can you just like make a, you know, like for tomorrow's shoot? And just like, it's just,
I know. I remember, I don't think this film ever came out, but when I was in college, I did like a couple days PAing on some a horror movie actually that shot like on an island. It never came out, but I was somehow the sound PA. I don't know, college was weird, but they were like, we need someone to Photoshop a fake website, and I was literally doing nothing, so I was like, I'll do it. You know, I just like made a I adjusted a website on the fly. I was like, does this work?
That's amazing.
Like, so I was that PA/intern / whatever.
That's the thing. I love it. And it's like, you know, it happens like that on the fly because they're like,
absolutely.
Oh.
So it's like, who the fuck knows Photoshop?
They don't have like full on production designers. Like, like, this is,
What else? I'm going through my delightful notes. The station manager is the worst.
Yeah.
There's a point where he's listening into the blind dates that are happening on the air. And it's when the main guy is there. And oh my God, what was the conversation about?
Oh, I don't even remember his reaction.
He loses his mind over. He
is
crying over light bulbs. Literally.
Over literally like, but it's like.
It's literally light bulbs.
And banter.
Yeah.
It's like not anything crazy. It's like, oh, they're flirting. And he's just like cracking up like it's the funniest he's ever heard, and I was like, oh my God, this poor actor.
Yes. And at the end he's like, well, the data said.
Yeah,
it's like, did the data said it? Okay,
the data did say that? Okay.
Oh, we got a split screen sadness moment where they both like were like, you know, the misunderstanding. And then I turned on the main actress at the end because in her radio show she said, "Any hoozle," and she's like screaming into the mic. when she's on air. I was like, you've been a producer, an on-air producer for the supposedly 5 years, and now you're like,
now you're so, yeah.
What has happened? I don't like this, but I loved it. It was great. I loved this movie.
As a producer, you're also monitoring, you know, Denise Richards' like sound levels and all these things. And so you'd think you'd know.
Right. Just, it's like, don't peek.
Yeah. But it was wonderful. And I always love with the data stuff. We keep talking about it. It's like in these things, it's always like the data's in and it's like this has been happening for 2 weeks. And it's like, okay, the show can stay because it had this uptick of listeners for 2 weeks.
Don't forget the people upstairs, like, the suits upstairs.
But I love everything. It's just like, it's like, okay, we're about to drop the nuke on everything except for, oh, well, 2 weeks now, this has been going well. So, you know, everything's fine. Yep. In fact, we're going to give you your own show and all this is, it's like, oh, if only the world was a Hallmark movie, even though
if only
Hallmark,
the world had the same consumer data that they did.
Well, and there's the decision-making just being that just on the fly, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, great. We had a great week. Perfect. Let's just extend it for another year.
This man has taste. He loves light bulb banter and he knows his morning shows.
He does.
Yeah.
He knows. Wake Up With.
Oh, it's Breakfast With Somebody.
Breakfast With Brooke, I think, right? Brooke. And then it was Coffee
with whatever Kate. Her face is. Caitlin. Yeah. Kate. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Coffee with Kenzie.
Kenzie. Not a real name. Yeah. Oh, my last note is the guy's ties are always too big.
His what?
His ties. His ties are huge. I was like, what is that? I mean, I know they're not his ties, but like.
I know, but his character. Yeah.
It's just awful. I hated it. I loved it. But also, just a prequel for, I was so being so confused in reporting for Christmas, because that is for, you know, she's like a TV reporter, and whoever the person is a TV reporter in that one. And this is why I was finally like, where's Denise Richards? Because, you know, usually these Hallmark movies, etc., people are, you know, Vaseline lensed, soft lit to the nines, especially if they're, you know, at all older or whatever it is. And, you know, this character's a news anchor in it, and she was in like super HD with like crinkles and the makeup was creasing and all this stuff. And I was like, what is happening? And what is Denise gonna allow? Like, is she gonna allow this to happen?
Well, we called it beauty box in reality television, where they would do that. And I was like, I would love it if that happened, where they needed like that woman to look older, and then they're gonna beauty box the hell out of Denise so they look the same age.
Right. Yeah. Well, this I was like, hysterical. Somebody did somebody dirty, because there was no beauty box involved in that. I was like, what self-respecting TV anchor would allow this to happen?
<I know. laughs> So it's even just better, because it's like you would have your hair and makeup team right there and just
you have so much to look forward to.
I can't wait.
But we're watching what else have we been up to?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah. Well, I know it's more Christmas movies.
Well, I did see a real one. I went with a couple friends to like a brunch, and we went to go watch Love Actually for its like 20th anniversary.
Okay,
it was playing all weekend. Denise Richards appears at the end of that one too, remember?
Oh, yeah.
She's one of the American girls.
In the bar.
She's like the friend.
Oh, no, at the airport. At the airport.
But yeah, so we watched that. And fun fact, I actually spent the better part of my life since it's been out, like, really disliking that film.
Oh, my God, I love that movie so much.
And then I watched it last year on a whim, just kind of being like, let's just give it another shot.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I was like, I don't know if it's just that I had to get older or what had to happen, but like, I did not like that film for years, and I had seen it like 3 or 4 times. But anyway, I love that movie. Just a loser. I don't know. But
I get, the harder it is to watch, actually.
It is harder, but that's the thing. I felt like I just resonate with it more somehow. I don't know. It's just a weirder, as a kid, I wasn't a kid, but you know, I was in high school.
Yeah.
When it came out, and I just remember just being like, I just remember being bored. I don't know. Well, it was weird.
I think for better or for worse, the older you are, the more you pick up on like the sad, fucked up shit. And you're like, oh, this is, because it's not a light, fluffy movie. There's lots of light, fluffy parts, but you're like, oh God, this person's like the caretaker to their sibling who's having like a meltdown, or like,
God, I mean,
Alan Rickman is a monster.
Everything with Annette, Annette Bening. Everything with
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson, Jesus.
Well, I saw some.
Back on for another, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw some meme post thing the other day that was just like, it's basically a film about like sexual harassment in the workplace, because you know the prime minister is dating someone, and then like Colin Firth is effectively the employer of this one. And I was like, oh,
exactly.
No,
exactly.
No.
No, I know. It's so funny. But then, but every, and then everything about Bill Nye in it is just makes the whole thing.
It's perfection.
Just like, it's just, it's hysterical. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, loved it again. So I was happy about that. Right. Watched Rescuing Christmas, which I recommend. That had Rachel Lee Cook in it.
Oh.
From, of She's the Man. No, I mean, God, She's All That. I'm just like messing up movies here. That one I loved. All About Christmas Eve, which is an older one at this point, but it has my Christmas Queen Hayley Duff in it, so I have to revisit those. You know, I already mentioned Jingle Bell Jubilee, but I did Candy Coated Christmas, which I recommend.
Some of these Cloudy names.
Cloudy with a Chance of Christmas.
Is that an animated one?
Nope. Cloudy or Christmas Reservations that had Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh my God, I'm so worried. This is, I don't know. Maybe I should stop asking you for the rest of the year.
I was, well, and then the last one I'll say. Christmas at the Amish Bakery.
I have questions.
It was great.
What is it on is my top question.
I will have to get back to you on that because I was like, I think I had to like do like a free trial of some service to watch. Because I have my Apple TV. It would be like, oh, recommending these other ones. And then it was like, oh, you can subscribe to this channel. But it was like a 7-day free trial or something through my thing.
I mean, it has a pretty high rating on IMDb.
I mean, I would rate
42 whole votes. Listen, New York book editor Sarah heads back to her Amish family farm with the help of a handsome local outsider Dean, a friend of the Amish. They hope to save her family's bakery. I'm in.
And I don't want to spoil.
No. Yeah, I have to.
What happens, but yeah, because it may surprise you.
How? Okay, this is my question. How many times did they say the big city?
More than a few.
Okay. Perfect.
I remember correctly. Perfect. It's been almost a week since I watched that one, but it
doesn't matter. I'm in.
Yeah, I'm loving this corner that's being turned here that you're now considering a third for this year. you know, like, or more than three now?
This is, am I at three?
Well, because you did Biltmore, and now you've done Denise Richards.
Oh, crap. You're right. I've done three.
You're considering, and then you did another one
Christmas
already?
In Notting Hill.
Oh, duh. Yeah, and then now you're considering a fourth.
And I accidentally watched part of one.
Most of.
Three and an eighth.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you.
Oh, no. What have I done? Yeah. This is your bad influence.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
My sister got home today. We're at our parents, and she wanted to come. She's super jet lagged, though, because she was like, I wanted to give my opinion on Christmas on Notting Hill. And
because she resembles
parts of it.
Like, yeah, but okay. So she was able to find it because it got taken down, right?
And yes, I recorded it on our parents' DVR.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. What a sister you are.
I know. I was like, you have to see this. And she sent me her entire live text thread of it, but I will not read it because it's an entire own episode. Yeah. Let's see. What have I been watching? Because it's so weird because I have to rush to vote in things. Like end up watching almost all the contenders early and I'm looking at my Letterboxd and I'm like, there's a huge gap in watching movies between The Missing, which is like the Filipino, you know, entry into Academy Awards, and A Christmas Frequency. Like, I haven't watched movies in a week, 2 weeks almost, which is unheard of for me. Or new movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. I watched The Garden. I think I texted both of you about this. The Garden, which is The Garden Cult or Commune.
Mm.
Coming off of our mother god, The Kick, which is sort of like, it was like a reality show meets docuseries, which was interesting. Okay. It was on Max. It's not as good, but I was like, this is I'm coming down off of the high of, you know, it's a good baby step to sobriety.
Right.
Then it's still trucking through Married to Medicine. I didn't watch it this week, but I finally can talk about, I watched The Boy and the Heron, which is the new Miyazaki film. Which I didn't love, which made me sad. I didn't hate it, but I expected it to like ruin me as a person in a good way, and it did not. Still beautiful, still really well crafted, but I just, it didn't, the story didn't resonate with me as much as like some of his other stuff. Mm. So, yeah. Yeah.
I also started watching Fellow Travelers.
I watched the first two of those.
It doesn't get a ton more exciting than those, but I
I
think we have one more to go, but I've been enjoying it, but it's sad, of course.
It is, yeah. It would be,
but it's perfectly good. You know, it's like okay, like the performances are decent and it's a good story and it's sad, but it's such a bummer.
Yeah, you know.
I'm enjoying it well enough. So the other, I do watch other things, real things, you know.
Debatable. No, I'm kidding. Yes, you do. No. I don't, because the other thing I watched is Singles Inferno is back, which is that Korean dating show I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
But they clearly have taken a page out of like the pacing of Western shows. Because like some of the fun of it is it takes so long for them to do anything in the other seasons, where it's, you know, there's just different sort of expectations on how fast dating moves and like, you know, how quickly you even address somebody casually. I'm putting that in air quotes because there's like a way to talk to people. This season, they are like light speed and they're like, we're going to throw you into all these scenarios and you have to go and do this and that. And I was just like, this is so, it's so genius.
Yeah.
They made like the camp way less hospitable, and it's oh my god I started watching it last night and I had to wake up early to drive this morning. I was like, I really want to watch the rest of this, but I can't.
I love that.
So Singles Inferno is back, highly recommend it. Is nice. Spectacular.
Nice.
A plus to the producers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I still have to check that one out.
I mean, it's only if you like, you know, run out of
I
other.
Mean I'm interested in it, but
yeah. Season one is good, season two is okay, season three is like, oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to get through my the holiday season.
Yeah, I was going to say, after
because
after
what happens
the 26th, you can start.
Yes, because what happens is I watch so many things. This is the first year that I'm doing like one per day, but I watch so many of them every year, and I just like, it's just what I do.
Yeah.
That I do end up getting into like a drought in January, and I often am like looking for stuff to watch because I'm just like, you know, so I very well, maybe,
let
maybe
me
time.
Tell you.
Because I still also like, I'm busy. I keep up. I'm keeping up with the show. Like I'm obsessed with The Gilded Age, and that's been on. We're getting our finale. Like,
I'm really behind on that. I feel bad.
I am loving this. I think this season's better than the first season. And I love the first season. And I was I just eat it up. It is my weekly, it's a soap opera. I don't know. I don't know. It's just tea. You know?
Yeah.
And I love it. And then I've been watching A Murder at the End of the World. I've been keeping up with that too. Which,
oh, that's what I know. Need to watch. Yeah.
I like it all right, but I'm not obsessed with it like I should be for the Players.
Yeah. My parents started watching it before me, and therefore I was like, no, don't spoil this because they're prone to spoilers. Yeah.
It's perfectly interesting enough to watch. Like, it's not, you know, I think it's a little stretched out, but
I'm
finale's
just like,
coming.
I know it. I'm going to download for the plane flight.
Nice. I was going to say finale's coming Monday, I think. So.
Oh, perfect.
I think it's the finale. Yeah. So, yeah, I recommend.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank y'all.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, as per usual, to Matt. And our very quick follow-up point, which I'm unhappy to talk about, but need to clarify, is that we kept saying castration, female castration, in terms of Poor Things. The term I meant and was thinking of was female circumcision, which prevents the pleasure part of it. But castration is a male-specific term, and it involves the loss of the testicles. So not applicable to Emma Stone's character, but circumcision is. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.